Hey, welcome everybody. Brother Goodwin here from Prophecy in the Spotlight. Doc is in the studio, and we're going to bring you a program today about apostasy right now in the world, right here in America, right in the Christian nation of the world. The great apostasy, I think, is pretty much here. Let me read you a verse in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3. It says this, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away from." Now that day he's talking about is the second coming. Christ coming on the white horse. That can't come till these other things happen. What are these other things? He says, a falling away first, and that man of sin being revealed, the son of perdition. Two things there. Of course, the son of perdition, that's the end, the revealing of the Antichrist. We know that we got to be gone before he's revealed. That doesn't mean you maybe can't guess who he is. We may or may not, but you can't be sure. He's not revealed for who he is until we're gone. But something else happened before, and that's the falling away first. And that falling away is what we're going to talk about in today's program. It's the apostasy. I call it the great apostasy. I've got a book here. I'll be sharing with you a little bit, The Great End Time Apostasy. Doc has a DVD we want to tell you about. But we want to help you with this thing about apostasy. We're going to show you how it got here and why and all that. We're going to give you some good illustrations today. So fasten your seatbelt, and we'll be back in about 30 seconds. Hey, everybody. Good to have you with us on today's program. And we're going to be talking, as I said, about the great apostasy. And I've got this book right here. She'll put that up in a little bit here. You can see it. Many of you may have the book. It's been out for a couple of years. The Great End Time Apostasy. And I'm going to be reading a few things out of there. Before we do that, Doc, you have a... And there's the book. She's got the book up.
Hey.
It's how many pages?
And it's a good picture because that's what they're doing. They're walking away
from... They're walking away from the truth, the cross.
Walking away from Calvary's cross.
And that's why I chose that picture. We designed that, I think. And people walking away from the truth. You know, the Bible says in the last days, some shall depart from the faith.
I'm glad it says some.
Yeah. Not all, but some.
Yes.
And I tell people, if you depart... We was at the restaurant this morning. I gave the illustration. To depart from this restaurant, I have to have been in the restaurant, or I can't depart from it.
Yeah.
So to depart from the faith, I have to have been in the faith. And I think it's talking about saved people. I believe it's talking about the church people. And I'm not saying you can lose your salvation. These people who depart from the faith doesn't mean they've lost their salvation. It means they've lost their way. Yep. They've taken the wrong path. They've gotten away from truth.
The sad thing is I've noticed over... all of these years, I've been at it over 60-plus years in the ministry, and I have found very few, if any, that have apostatized, have walked away from revealed truth that really ever realized it and came back to it.
I thought you were going to say that, and I believe you're right. Very few ever come back once they go down that road.
Yep.
It's almost like they've made a decision, they've crossed the line. And away they go.
And I'm going to leave it up to God as to determine a person's salvation. But I think we can know by the fruits that's born. But at the same time, there are a lot of people in our world today, a lot of ministries, and the DVD that I have, I walk you through four different phases that an individual, a church, or a ministry... four different steps that they walk through as they're traveling down the road that ends up in apostasy. And so off the top of my head, I can't think of all of those at the moment, or I'd rattle them off, but they're in there. So apostasy is not something that's you flip the switch. It's something that comes gradual.
Yeah.
And that's how compromise works. Compromise is a position that has no end to it. And once you start down that road of compromise, whether compromising with the Bible, compromising with your standards, compromising with whatever, once you begin departing from what God has said as the truth of it, then you're on a road. And if you don't stop that rather quickly, you'll end up completely away from it.
Yeah. All right, folks, if you don't have Doc's DVD, I'd encourage you to get that. And I'm sure it's about an hour long or a little less, whatever. I'll be very helpful to you. And if you don't have the book.
Most of my messages are right around an hour long.
Yeah.
I'm a short-winded preacher.
And, okay. So let me give you a little background here about this falling away from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2.
Mm-hmm.
The falling away is where we get the word apostasy. The word apostasy is not in the Bible, but it comes from that word.
Well,
the word
falling away comes from the Greek word apostasia.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so the falling away is where we get the word apostasy, which is defined by Webster's 1820 dictionary as an abandonment of what one has professed or a departure from one's faith or religion. So basically, it's exactly what 1 Timothy 4 says. Mm-hmm. Some shall depart from the faith.
Yes.
That's apostasy.
Yes.
Departing from the faith. Let's go a little further here. More evidence of this is the condition of the church as we see it in Revelation 3, the seventh church, the church of the Laodiceans. They obviously have departed something.
That's right.
And God wants to vomit them out of his mouth. They are still called a church, however. But so Revelation 3, and then God takes us out in Revelation 4, verse 1. I made a statement here in the book that's worth repeating. The church of the Laodiceans is not just a symptom of a problem, but a sign of the end of an age, the church.
That's right. That's exactly right.
That's the way we need to look at it. That's the final church in Revelation. It is the final church in the lineage of from Ephesus all the way to Laodicea.
It's the final condition of the church.
And it's not good. And when I look online and I read comments of Christians and I look at what churches are doing and promoting.
You just shake your head.
We're here. We are the church of Laodiceans.
You know, I have a message that I preach sometimes in a prophecy conference, and it's called, How Do You Go From Ephesus to Laodicea?
Wow.
And you can still be a church of Ephesus. You could still be a Philadelphian age type church or an individual. We don't have to be a Laodicean. But the entire scope of the end days of the church age is going to be a Laodicean spirit.
Yeah, there'll be a very small remnant.
Yes.
I'm sure we have a remnant now.
Well, he said in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away.
Yeah.
And that's what we're watching today. Huge movements that really have turned away from truth. They've got all kinds of philosophical ideas, all kinds of man's ideas, and very little, if any, real Bible truth. And the wise person is going to turn away from it.
I meant to talk to you about this before the show, and I forgot. So let's just throw it out there. There's a prime example of this right now going on. I don't know if you've seen it. Some very well-known religious leaders in the country, not pastors, I don't think, but... They're suddenly off on this kick that nobody suffers eternal hell.
Oh,
have you seen this?
Somebody asked me that the other day where I was preaching, and I had to admit I hadn't heard about it. And then when they told me the individual and they told me all that, I said, I can understand where that's at because there are a lot of other issues in that movement that are not Bible-based either.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that they can't present the truth of the gospel, but there's a lot more to the Word of God than just truth of gospel.
Yeah.
We are, as the Bible tells us, we are to move on after our salvation and grow.
Perfecting.
In our perfecting and maturing. The word perfecting doesn't mean to be without sin, because the Bible said nobody's without sin. But we ought to be pursuing a maturing and growing in our faith beyond just being saved.
Yeah. So, boy, when you're when you're wrong on some key things,
yes,
it leads to what we're talking about.
It does, absolutely.
Where a guy can go down this road and say, well, you know, I don't like this. This doesn't seem fair. God wouldn't do that.
Okay, but here's the thing. You cannot, God will not allow his character and the traits of his character. God will not allow one trait of his character to override another trait of his character. God is love, but God is also justice. So his love is not going to override what is just and right, and his justice will not prevent him from still loving.
Mm-hmm.
But they seem somehow or another to think that it overrules the other.
And I think it all comes down to this, Doc, and this is what I write. I'm on page 3 here. The root of apostasy. I think this is the key to the whole thing. What's the root of what causes apostasy?
Yes.
Since the Word of God, Scripture, is the truth, as we see in John 17:17, then it is a turning away from the Bible that is at the root of apostasy. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is, this is the word.
That's
right
it.
Here.
This is the truth.
This is the truth. When when someone turns away.
This is why they work so hard at making all kinds of new versions of it.
Yeah.
They don't like what the truth says.
And let me just say this to our audience, and most of you in our audience, you know, Doc and I are King James men. We're not ashamed to say that. We're not going to back away from that. We're not going to compromise on that. I believe, Doc believes, that this is the very words of Almighty God, preserved and inspired in the King James Bible. And I believe every word is perfect. I believe there's no mistakes. There's no verse that I got to read and say, well, is that what God really said? No, it is what God really said. There it is, right here in your Bible. So to go into apostasy, the root of it all starts with a wrong understanding or belief in this book right here.
That's the foundation. That's the beginning. Well, let me give you a verse to go with that.
Yeah.
It's in 1 Timothy 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of the devils.
Yeah.
And that's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Once you listen, you are going to anchor into something.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you leave the truth, then you're going to find something else to believe as the truth.
Yeah.
And the Bible calls that doctrines of the devils.
Yeah. Folks, let's just be blunt. When you go to the book of Enoch to get truth, you've departed from the faith. This is the faith right here. This is the root of the faith right here. When you depart this and go off into sci-fi stuff, the book of Enoch, human reasoning, UFOs, and all this crazy stuff out there, you've departed from the faith.
But
that's part of the apostasy.
And that's all become an attraction that has become a distraction.
That's
You've
right.
got a book on distraction, which draws people away. They spend all their time looking at all of this out here rather than looking at what has God said here.
And I write here, it all began in the Garden of Eden in Genesis 3.
Hath God said?
Hath God said. The serpent said to Eve, has God said that you can't eat of that tree?
Mm.
She said, God has said. She said, yes, it's the word of God. God has said. And he says, God knows the day you eat thereof. He's just fooling you. He knows when you eat that, you'll become as God, knowing good and evil. I believe what he's saying there is, when you eat that fruit, you'll become God. You'll decide what is right and what is wrong
for yourself. That was the temptation, Eve. You guys have been doing what God told you is right and wrong. Wouldn't you like to know what's right and wrong for yourself?
Yeah.
If you'll eat from this.
Not only that, you decide what's right and wrong.
You're the one who makes the decision.
Yeah. God, no book, no God, your husband won't tell you what's right and wrong. You'll decide.
You know, everybody says, well, the devil's got a new trick. The devil doesn't need any new tricks.
No.
His trick of deception has always worked on humanity, producing the same judgment of God. So why does he need to change?
Now, let me prove that in this statement that I say so often. The world ends right where it began 6,000 years ago with a bride, some liberating fruit, other Bibles, other words of God, and a serpent, and that brings apostasy.
So back to the issue of this new idea, which is really not new. It just kind of resurfaces ever so often that there's really no hell. It's just a way of explaining something.
Yeah.
Well, you better take the words of Jesus, because Jesus is the one who he spoke twice as much about hell as he did heaven. And he talks about it, the lake of fire and hell. He talks about it being a place where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not.
Eternal torment.
Eternal. And then he gave a story that's not a parable. He gave a story of a rich man who died and went there. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes being in torments in the flames. So I'm just going to take God's word over. I don't care how popular anybody is. And I don't care how nice. And I believe they're probably good people.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt saved people. But we need to check everything, even what we say. It needs to be checked with what is this backed up by the Bible? Is this what God has said? Or is this something Dr. Hillbilly dreamed up or Brother Dan's figured it out on his own?
Now, if we have time, because we're going to go to Proverbs now, but if we have time, we're going to come back to why is Satan attacking the scriptures? Why is he bringing this apostasy? I've got four or five things that we'll share. But I want us to look at Proverbs 7, because we talked about this in the update we did, Doc, and it was so good.
It just kind of came up.
Yeah, and there's some application here that's tremendous. I'm always joking with people. I say, hey, I know when the Lord's coming back.
Yeah.
You do? When? At the day appointed.
Yes.
And I get that from Proverbs chapter 7. We mistakenly said Proverbs 6 in the show.
No, you mistakenly said
it. I mistakenly said it. And you went along with it. You kind of apostatized with me there. And I think she's going to put a pop-up to correct our mistake. And so,
but the radio crowd won't get that pop-up.
The radio crowd won't get the pop-up.
There'll be somebody calling in and say, hey, you're in the wrong chapter, Dan.
Well, good. Then we'll know somebody's listening.
Then we'll know somebody listening.
We don't know if anyone's listening or not.
Amen.
Let's see. Where does this thing start? I think it's, let's see. Oh, here it is. It's in verse 5. I'm from Proverbs 7, verse 5. This is an interesting story here. And it says this, that they may keep thee. Say unto, verse 4, say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman.
Yeah.
And the strange woman, there's lots of ways you can look at this, mm-hmm. but one of them is, it's a woman who's not your wife. It's a
That's
woman
right.
you shouldn't be with.
That's right.
And so wisdom will keep you from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. You pointed out in the program before that God uses this these human things to illustrate something.
Immorality in this nature is always seen as a person who has a relationship that's righteous with God, bringing that in with a relationship with a pagan world.
Yeah, false doctrine.
Yes.
So this fits with our apostasy right down the line here. It's talking about a woman enticing a man, mm-hmm. but when you understand what this is really talking about, and that, by the way, that's wrong.
Because that's what fornication is here.
Spiritual fornication.
Spiritual.
That's what this is illustrating
that's
here.
Right.
A religious, a child of God straying to a strange
that's
woman,
right.
something that's anti-God, something that's
right.
not right. So remember that, folks, when you read this. I wrote here, the harlot church here, I wrote next to it here. From the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Now, verse 6, here's where the story begins. Mm-hmm. For at the window of my house, I looked through my casement. There's somebody looking through a window
mm-hmm.
and sees this happening. That could be the Holy Spirit, I guess, in the story. And behold, among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. So here's a young man,
mm-hmm.
and he's going to be enticed here. Passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. And you know, there's some places that men shouldn't go.
That's right.
There's some places on the internet that men
shouldn't get yourself
because
where you can be in.
It allows you to be influenced and enticed. So he passes through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. I mean, she's on the next floor.
It looks like he may be kind of going out of his way on purpose.
Because, he's already got this desire in his heart to go to maybe the red light district or whatever. verse 9, in the twilight, so it's after, it's starting to get dark. It's that time of the day when we probably shouldn't be at that street corner. And in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot. Mm-hmm. So she had the look of the strange woman.
Enticing.
And subtle of heart. And then in parentheses, she is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets. And she has a husband, we find out later here. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she's not just after him. She's after anybody she can get to entice. Now, remember what the story is, a literal story, but it's a deeper story about religion.
It's about
a righteous man getting drawn away into
false
doctrine.
Doctrine, false teaching.
Verse 13, so she caught hold of, she caught him. She grabs his arm or puts her arm around him, whatever, here. Like lies do and like false doctrine does. It embraces you and it makes you feel good. Yep. So she caught him and kissed him. And makes him feel, hey, I'm accepted here. Hey, they like me here. Yeah. That's how false doctrine creeps in. And, hey, I've been invited to preach at this big conference with all, and I know there's a lot of false doctrine there, but hey, they like me. Mm-hmm. Boy, what a sucker punch that is.
And you can always come up with human reasoning to make it okay.
Yeah. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, verse 14, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face. Now, it just said she was looking at every corner. Yeah. She didn't come to meet him.
But when she found somebody that was duped enough.
She came to find a sucker.
Yep.
Anyone that she could get drag astray.
Right. Yep.
But she's making him feel, hey, I came to find you.
Now he feels like, wow.
I'm somebody.
I'm somebody.
So, verse 15, therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. She looks good. She smells. This false doctrine looks good, smells good. It's attractive.
Yes.
If it wasn't, nobody'd have to worry about it. It's attractive. Now, look what she says. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. I got a sermon I preach, the morning, when the morning comes.
When the morning
does come.
It's coming.
And things don't look so good in the morning. Let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. And then here's where the prophecy comes in here. Verse 19, listen to this, folks. For the good man is not at home. I think that's represents God, the Lord Jesus Christ. The good man is not at home. He has gone a long journey. He's gone back to heaven. He's preparing the house to rapture us up into, come back for his bride. And this is the bride, by the way. She is the bride. Mm. The good man's gone to build a house, and the dad's going to tell him to go get your bride. She's the espoused bride. And for the good man is not at home. He's gone a long journey. He had taken a bag of money. In other words, he got enough money. He's going to be gone a while with him and will come home at the day appointed.
Yes.
That's where the prophecy sets in here. He's coming at the appointed day. And I got Daniel 8, verse 19 as a reference here. I don't remember what that says, but that goes with that.
And this is a very vivid picture of what's happened to Christianity today.
Yeah.
What's called Christianity in our world today, I always, when I'm writing it, even in my sermon notes, I always put a quotation mark on it, on each side of that, because what's perceived as Christianity often is not Bible Christianity, according to the Word of God.
Yeah.
It's become a religion that has been adapted and accepted, as you just pointed out, accepted by the world, and the world has accepted it. I'm here to tell you, real Christianity, Dan, a lost person comes into a church where the Word of God is preached, they ought to feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
They ought to feel convicted.
Yeah.
And if they don't, there's something wrong with the Christianity of that church.
Yeah, I agree.
And I know a lot of people, some folks watch this and may get mad about it, but I'm here to tell you, Just because everybody loves it and everybody thinks it's great, you come in like you was and you leave like you were, something's wrong with what was taking place between those yep. 2 points.
So let me just point out again, lest anybody don't understand here, the woman in this story, I hate to say this, she represents
it's very possible.
The church, the faith.
It can.
And, but the master has gone on a journey. He's coming back at the day appointed. That's her Lord. No. And she's flirting with the world in a figurative sense.
That's exactly
here.
What's happened. And that goes along with what you shared a while ago out of the book of Revelation, chapter 3. I'm telling you, the Laodicean world, the Laodicean church as a whole has become more worldly than they are Christian.
Yeah, Satan attacks the veracity of Scripture. He wants to keep man from knowing
yes.
and becoming children of God. If you're already saved, he wants to keep you from growing, bringing glory to God.
So we all go to church, and we can bring our lost people, and we can all have a good time and go away feeling good. We can get our how to feel good in our world and today and how to have your best day in your life down here when it's really all about the best time coming. And so they go away saved and lost, having a good time together.
To get back at God, he attacks what God loves, and that's
yes.
that's people. He wants to keep man from believing the gospel
that's right.
message.
Well, if the gospel isn't presented, then how are they going to get yep. saved?
He wants to cause the redeemed to doubt their eternal security and
yes.
their salvation, robs them of their joy and their usefulness. And
when you've compromised and sins in your life, you're going to have yeah. those doubts.
Yeah. And so this apostasy, and we only got a minute left, Doc, but the deception of baptismal regeneration, saying that you
yes.
got to be baptized, go to heaven. That's a lie. That's deception.
It's not found in the Bible.
Calvinism is a deception. I discuss that in here. Mm-hmm. This is a deception I call dispensational salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Same salvation, different in different yeah. ages of history.
Yeah.
I believe that's a lie. And on and on we could go there. And so, folks, it's part of the end time. I believe it's here. You just read the comments of Christians online. And
well,
you don't know what to say.
Their justification of compromise is unbelievable.
Yeah. And I don't imagine most of them that have strayed realize that they've strayed.
No.
They think they're following the right path. And
because the majority of people are following that path.
And we do have a problem with this thing called discipleship in our churches.
Well,
I think a lot of people are not getting
proper
instruction.
I'm not so sure there is any in most, yes.
Yeah, and that's important. That's part of the Great Commission. We've got to teach them. All right, we're out of time. And God bless you all, and we'll see you next time. Until then, keep your eyes on them skies.